Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
6:14, verily, I say to you, and I don't have to be a prophet to tell you this, we're at April 16th. It's going to be miserably hot and humid before long. Today is going to be a beautiful day. Highs of 78. Right now it's 56. Get out and enjoy it while you can. 81 for a high tomorrow, 84, Good Friday, Saturday, 84, Sunday, 84, cloudy both days, no rain till Monday. But, you know, after you get past the middle of April, Mother's Day is knocking on the door, and I can never remember a Mother's Day that was not miserably hot and humid. A lot of people are big fans, believe it or not. Now, I shouldn't say that because he's deserving of fans, but a lot of people are big fans of you. Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. How you doing?
I'm doing well, but I don't know about your listeners if they're big fans.
I'm telling you, at least one person in the 601 area code texts in, Andy Smith, yes, thank you, you the man. And when's Andy Smith coming on? When's Andy Smith coming on? And I had to explain, we don't have you chained up in a garage or something. We can't just, you know, grab the chain like in Breaking Bad and bring you out when we want. You have a life of your own, right?
A little bit, you know. Life of a faculty member is not the greatest.
Well, not bad.
I'm not complaining. I should say that.
No heavy lifting, right?
No, well, sometimes.
Let's talk about...
You ever been in a faculty meeting?
No. Let's talk about polls out. Newsweek's got one. CBS has one out about... And again, I know how you're a pollster, and the first thing I guess we should say is... It all depends on who's doing the poll, right, and all of that stuff. But about Republicans less trusted on the economy than Democrats for the first time in years. You're a pollster. You interpret all of this information. Talk about them, and what are we learning, if anything?
Well, I think that, to your point, you got to look at several polls to get a sense of what's going on. You got to look at the wording of the questions. You got to look at the organization. But I think that both the Newsweek poll and the CBS poll in particular do a good job of trying to disentangle some of the issues that are going on with the economy and in the news. And I think the CBS one does a nice job in presenting the differences between party, because I think that's what you're seeing with a lot of this, is that perception is more important than reality, and perception is colored by your own partisan politics. But the economy is not doing good in the eyes of most people, in large part because that's what they see on the TV every day, or listen to on the radio every day. Trump's economic approval rating has been declining. It's gone down by about 7 points over the last month or so, which isn't huge, but it's declining. But the only reason it's staying up as high as it is because of Republicans. And independents are starting to slide off a little bit. And the thing that is I think most important politically for perceptions of the economy isn't where things are right now, but where things are going to be a year from now. Because by next spring, the pudding's going to be baked, or the cake's going to be baked, for what the election in 2026 is fought over. And economics is one of the major things that got Trump into office this year because of Biden and perceptions that he wasn't handling the economy well. And if it's a year from now and the economy is about where it is now, Trump's and Republicans are going to have a difficult time in the midterm elections.
And I think when you say perception, what I got to thinking of is people see stuff on the news, but really, when it comes to tariffs, that really hasn't, other than egg prices, but that was for a different reason. The prices really haven't, because of tariffs, haven't really gone up. So now it's just an idea, right? It's a concept, and the idea of pain is an abstract concept in order of gain later on. And maybe the perception will change once the price increases really do hit, if they do, because I don't know where we stand on tariffs today.
I don't think anybody really can tell you what exactly is going to happen, because frankly, nobody knows what the tariffs are from day to day. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the biggest issues that the Trump administration faces, is that there doesn't seem to be a plan. One of the questions that CBS asked was, does Trump have a clear plan for tariffs and trade? And among Democrats, 16% say he does, but 84% does say he doesn't. Mm-hmm. Among Republicans, 91% say he does, and 9% say he doesn't. So there's this, the perception there is that it's partisan. You're rooting for your guy. When it comes to tariffs, the short-term impact and the long-term impact is something that we can't gauge. But I think you're already seeing some of the short-term impacts, in that the market is pricing in price increases. And that ain't doing so good for your 401k. And that's, I think, one of the other things that people are concerned about, is what all this means to their personal economics. One of the CBS questions was, have Trump's policies, are they making you better off financially or worse off? In March, 42% say that was making you better, worse off, 23% better off. Now it's up to 49% saying they're making you worse off, and 21% saying it's making you better off. So the perceptions aren't good. And I think that the longer this, the back and forth about tariffs go on, it's going to hurt Trump in the long run, because it's kind of like setting the bar lower. And that means if tariffs are going to improve the economy, it's got further to go in the minds of the public, because we all base our economic understanding on our own realities, kind of what we're seeing in our pocketbook, on the news, and then our partisanship, which colors everything.
Yeah, we're going to pick it up right there when we come back, because I want to talk about Trump's 38-40%. I don't know if anything could run them off at all. And I think that they're going to, one way or the other, back into economic success, even if it costs them a lot of money to back into it. And because and it's not just Trump supporters. Nobody wants to admit they're wrong. So if for whatever reason you are one in that 38-40%, and Trump craters the economy, and my own feelings are, I don't think we know. The Pelicans are in a deal right now, Andy, our basketball team, where they're in the midst of hiring a new GM. The social media is going crazy. Bottom line is, we don't know. And I think it's the same thing with these tariffs. Nobody knows what's going to happen yet. People are predicting this or predicting that. But we'll talk when we come back about, when it comes to the midterms, when it comes to a year from now, when some of the effects of these things, if they ever go into effect, happen. And also about the views of the stock market. We talked to conservative economists that say, if you look at the stock market, although it's been down over the last 5 years, it's still up. But that takes in the Biden presidency that people seem to skip over. So I think it all is, as you said, viewed through a partisan prism. We're talking to Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. The Elkhornart Jeweler Talk and Text Line's open. If you have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. As always, please do not text and drive. Text, data, and message rates may apply. Traffic now, WWL. 627, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Andy Smith, our friend, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. Jordan Fiegel, the producer, hates when I do this, but I'm just going to focus on one text that came in, just one text, and it says, garbage, bias, show Trump bashing. I don't know who said anything negative about President Trump at all. Did you? Andy?
other than a little bit of problems with consistency of message.
Yeah, I didn't say anything negative. I said we don't know. Nobody knows, but that goes too. And the reason I read it is the 38% of Trump's base, and I know some people in my neighborhood that have flags flying, served in the military and everything else, and God bless them, but I think they could lose their home because of Trump's economic policies. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I think they would find a way to justify how it wasn't his fault.
Well, one of my old media colleagues told me that rationalization is the second strongest human drive, and I think there's a lot to be said for that.
So is it just him, though, Andy? Does he have this thing that other people never did or have before?
No, we've seen this with other politicians. Not as recently. I think with President Obama, there was a little bit. But you get to this point where if you get engaged in politics and you're really following politics a lot, and you get in arguments with your friends or your family, you'll fight tooth and nail to explain why you're right and they're wrong, or why your guy's right and why you're the other guy's wrong.
And nobody's listening.
And nobody, you're not going to convince anybody one way or the other. It's like saying the Yankees or the Red Sox, the better team, better organization. Well, it depends who's winning.
And they both suck. Let's face it. No, I'm just teasing.
My dad played with the Indians.
Did he?
I put ageism, but so I grew up with misery every year.
Your dad was a professional baseball player?
Minor league.
The things you learn just by talking to people, right? Everybody has a story. So anyway, let's get back to politics here and how this all plays out. And President Trump's not up for election in 2 years, but a third of the House, the entire House, a third of the Senate is. I guess it depends. And again, nobody knows where the tariffs stand today, let alone a year from now. So tell me, looking ahead, how this plays out politically with the economy and tariffs and everything else.
Well, one of the questions in that CBS poll was who's responsible for the economy? 54% say it's Trump's economy. 21% say it's Biden's problems, and 20% say it's equal. If this stays on and Trump's approval rating is in the low 40s by next spring, Republicans are going to have some big trouble in the midterms.
But to be clear, for people, you know, saying it's the end of the country, for people saying America's coming back, it's far too early to tell any of that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Just stay tuned.
Take a break. Take a breath. If you got an Easter gathering, don't talk politics. Talk about something non-controversial like religion. Well, thank you, Andy. Appreciate your time. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk with Ted Rossman about credit card debt. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to our news director, Dave Cohen. 6:45, quarter till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. And again, I don't mean to beat the same drum over and over, but these days are dwindling down to a precious few where it's nice and you really want to be outside. I was outside yesterday actually fixing the base on the barbecue pit. Ted Rossman, you'd be interested in this because I'm always looking to save a dollar, right? And I didn't want to buy a new barbecue pit. So what I did was got about $30 of lumber and turned it into firewood. Because that's the kind of carpenter I am, but eventually I got it done. Highs of 78 today, so it'd be nice. Get out and enjoy it. 56 right now, but before you know it, it's going to be hot and humid. Ted Rossman does join us now, a Bankrate senior industry analyst. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Did you take any wood shop in high school or anything like that? Are you a skilled woodworker, carpenter, anything like that?
I did take that class a long time ago. I wish I was more skilled in that area. I like a little DIY.
I have no talent at all. I cut a board 3 times. It's still too short. Let's talk about credit about credit card debt and what tariffs are doing. Any effect on credit card debt at all? Are tariffs having any effect on anybody yet?
The worry is that it's going to lead to higher prices. You know, we're starting to see that trickle in. It's been kind of confusing because it's been sort of tariffs on, tariffs off. But yeah, we actually saw a big pull forward in demand leading up to all of these announcements, and a lot of people were stocking up on things both big and small. But the worry is higher prices, and the Yale Budget Lab says that the average household could end up spending about $4,000 a year more because of tariffs, and that's just going to make the credit card debt burden more difficult because people already have a lot of credit card debt. The average per household is about $6,600, according to TransUnion. And it's just the kind of thing that becomes very persistent. 6 in 10 credit card debtors have had it for at least a year. The average interest rate is around 20%. It is a significant obstacle for a lot of households.
Has there ever been any research to indicate or correlate credit card debt with either the state of the economy or, and this is an objective, subjective term about discretionary spending and if people are using credit cards because they're living beyond their means and not fixing their own barbecue pit and just buying new stuff, or they legitimately have to, because of their income, et cetera, have to use a credit card?
It's kind of a mixed signal, because when organizations like TransUnion and the New York Fed report credit card debt, so to speak, they're really talking about balances. Like, the New York Fed says Americans have $1.2 trillion in credit card debt. That's actually just the balances that showed on their statement. And about half of those people pay it off right away. What I'm getting at is that in some respects, this showcases economic growth, because consumers power 70% of the economy, and you know, it goes to show that people are using their cards, they're spending. We would actually expect this to grow over time because of economic growth and population growth, and more people are using cards and fewer are using cash. So actually, in kind of a roundabout sense, some of this shows that the economy is growing. What you don't want at the household level is true debt, people that are paying 20% or sometimes even more month after month after month. We see mixed signals here. You know, on one hand, credit card delinquencies are up. They're close to their highest point since 2011. On the other hand, the debt-to-income ratio is actually pretty low, historically speaking. It's one of these things where all news is local, that, you know, for everybody who's using cards for rewards and convenience and buyer protections, there's someone else who might become trapped in an expensive debt cycle. I don't see it as a systemic risk to the economy, but at the household level, it is hard to build wealth when you're paying 20% month after month after month.
So if I half that $1.2 trillion, we're talking about, and my math skills are almost as good as my carpentry skills, we're talking about $500 billion plus of people that carry balances on credit cards and are paying 20% on that?
Potentially. It's a little bit of apples to oranges, because the stat about the roughly half of cardholders who carry debt, that's people. So it's not necessarily that half of the balances are carried, although it may end up working out similarly. I've actually heard that about those 0% balance transfer cards, which is actually my favorite debt payoff tip. You know, I've heard that about half of those balances are unpaid at the end of the term, and then, you know, that's the business case. That's why the company offers that deal, because then 0% becomes 20 or 25 or 30, and then you are carrying debt. I still think if you use something like that to your advantage, it can be a huge tailwind. You just have to be disciplined about paying it back. And I know it's easier said than done, and I don't want to shame anybody with credit card debt, because a lot of people have it, and it's often a practical cause. The number one cause is an emergency expense, like a medical bill or a car repair. Number two cause is day-to-day living, just outpacing your paycheck. And that actually gets at the cumulative effect of inflation, which gets back to the whole tariff thing, because we've already had a lot of higher prices the last few years, and a lot of people are feeling pretty tapped out, and then prices may be going higher still. But some of the ways to get a handle on your debt would be a 0% balance transfer card. Move your debt over to the U.S. Bank Shield Visa, for example, which has a 24-month 0% promotion. Really try to attack the debt during that term. Or another option is nonprofit credit counseling. Groups like Money Management International can often negotiate a 6 or 7% rate over 4 or 5 years, and they help you pay your debt back at more favorable terms.
Let me take a break. I'm going to pick it up here when we come back, and I want to take it from micro to macro, how the individuals can affect the economy, what kind of purchasing is being put off, and how that affects the economy. Also, if you're talking about, you know, let's half the $500 billion, $250 billion in revolving credit card debt that's going to be eventually charged off or negotiated down, somebody's got to pay for that. Somebody's going to eat it. And I don't know how that's going to affect those of us that pay the credit card every month. And look, I'm not judging anybody. I've been there twice. Once ran it up as a younger guy because I was stupid and I was overliving my means. Second time because I was divorced, getting divorced, and I had to, and I didn't have a choice. I will never do that again. Tell me what your credit card situation is, please. The Oakenheart Jeweler Talk and Text Line's open at 504-260-1870. Do you pay it off every 30 days? Do you have a balance that you're working to chip down? How many credit cards do you have? What's the balance situation? It's all anonymous, but I will tell you that message, text, and data rates apply. Please don't text and drive. Traffic now, WWL. 6:58, 2 till 7, just a couple of minutes left with Ted Rossman, our friend, Bankrate senior industry analyst. Americans dealing with a record amount of credit card debt. Tariffs could stress that further. So when it comes to demographics, age groups, Ted, and going from the micro to macro part of it, what kind of spending is being put off? Who is putting it off, and how is that affecting the economy?
We found that almost two-thirds, 64% of people with credit card debt have delayed or avoided other financial decisions because of that debt. Building an emergency fund is the biggest delay. Health and wellness spending is the second biggest delay, followed by investing. It's interesting because it's actually Gen Xers who have the most credit card debt, both in terms of balances and percentage of balance carriers. But it's young adults that are more likely to be putting off these other milestones, Gen Z and millennials. I think that speaks to some of the other pressures they're facing, like student debt and household formation costs.
Do we need to do more as a society about educating people when it comes to credit cards?
I would like to see more of that. About half of states have a financial literacy mandate in high school now. Some of it, though, is that life gets in the way and people don't want to be in credit card debt, but they get a big medical bill or car repair or something else that sets them behind.
Thank you, Ted. Appreciate your time. And look, I know what y'all are going through because I was getting divorced and tried to charge $40 of Swiss cakes for a Christmas party and was over the limit and couldn't do it and didn't have the cash. And to be 40-something years old and going through that, that is not a good place to be in life. But sometimes it happens. Thankfully, that's behind me, and I'll never get there again. We'll talk to Troy Hebert when we come back, Louisiana State Representative. He wants to fundify the Fortify Roof Program. We'll talk about that and more. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Keep in mind, I'm no Akasha non-MD, but I will say this. The weather's going to turn miserably hot in a short period. So when you get a day like today with highs of 78, go for the Benadryl if you can safely. Check with your doctor first, blah, 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 because it's going to be so beautiful today. Highs of 78. Right now it's 56. Beautiful spring day. But before you know it, you know, here we are, second part of April. It's going to be miserably hot. And in a blink of an eye, it's going to be hurricane season as well. Unfortunately, joining us now, Representative Troy Hebert. Talk about funding the Fortified Roof Program. How you doing, Representative?
Good morning. How are you?
Sound like you're in Baton Rouge now, are you?
Oh, man, I'm actually at the governor's prayer breakfast this morning, so here in Baton Rouge before we get to the session. But happy to join you guys this morning and talk about a fortified roof.
Yeah, let's talk about that, please. Tell me where the program is now and where you would like to see it go.
So, listen, currently the grant program sunsets every year, and the legislature has to unsunset it, reappropriate the money again for the grant program, and that's just a continuous cycle. Mm-hmm. Other states have found ways, just like Alabama, to be able to keep the program in play without sunsetting, and then that's actually what our Commissioner of Insurance is trying to do here, and so I gladly decided to help him with this bill. So what we're going to do is we're going to use fees collected from casualty insurance premiums, surplus tax lines. There's going to be some licensing fees that we'll be able to put all that money into a pot and keep the program sustainable for years to come and help people get fortified roofs in areas where they're subject to excessive storms and winds. If you don't know much about a fortified roof program, fortified roof essentially is kind of like a brand, but basically what it does is says this roof is built to this type, this standard. And that standard has been proven to be able to sustain high winds and get to a point to where the roof wouldn't be compromised during a storm. And if the roof is not compromised after a storm, then the rest of the home won't be compromised from the storm.
Let me take a step back for a second. You talked about how it was going to be funded, and you mentioned a couple of different things. And I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but again, as I always say, Representative, if you've ever played golf for money, you know that's where most of the cheating happens, right? And I'm not saying anybody's cheating here, but when it comes to casualty fund or whatever it is, where's the money coming from, and is it at the expense of something else? Because nothing's free, right?
Yeah, well, it's coming from, like I said, it's coming from surplus. Let me back it up.
Sure.
So there's going to be roughly about $5 million from a surplus lines tax insurance. So that's insurance companies. So there's roughly going to be about $5 million from the property and casualty insurance premium tax. There'd be $1,000 from each insurer's annual financial regulation fees. There'll be $15 from each first-time licensee and license renewal for individuals licensed by the Department of Insurance. And it's $15 from each company appointment fee for agents and producers. Altogether, the dedications from these monies will produce an annual dedication of roughly about $30 million to keep the program going and not having to go back to the legislature every year to find the money to keep this grant program going.
Is that a new $30 million, or where is that $30 million going now?
No, it's not going to deplete the general fund. So I guess I can say it would be a new $30 million to some degree, because we're not going to be taking anything away from the general fund in this capacity.
Because what I'm getting at, Representative, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to figure it out, because somebody has to pay for it, right? And I'm just wondering who ultimately is going to be paying for this $30 million. And I'm all for fortified roofs. I'm not questioning that at all. I'm just trying to go back and see where it comes from.
Again, it's coming from your surplus, exactly how I just spelled it out.
But who's paying it? The insurance companies are paying that?
Just like in Alabama, insurance companies, there'll be fees, taxes that are already generated and collected. Just portions of those fees are going to now be coming into this fund.
Okay.
And so the state of Alabama did this. I mean, even they've got it on these sites that says pay for by insurance companies. This is not a new concept. It's not a new thought process, but it's a proven thought process that it's working. It's helping get fortified roofs on homes in the state of Alabama. Look, the legislative auditor audited the grant programs. They found a high satisfactory rate, but not only did they find a high satisfactory rate in the program, they saw an average savings of some of the homeowners of 22%. In the program.
Let me get to where I'm going with this.
Proven rate reduction scenario.
And I get that, but I'm getting some text here, and what they're asking is, because it is a lottery as it stands now to get a fortified roof, they're concerned that the insurance company is going to pass these fees along to everybody, so everybody's going to buy, in essence, contribute to the lottery fund, but only a few people are going to win the lottery when it comes to fortified roofs.
That's not what's going to happen here.
Tell me that.
Listen, the insurance companies, or pretty much every insurance company is willing to give anyone with a fortified roof a discount.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want that roof protected. They want that home protected. Because think about it. It's once the roof is compromised.
Right. No, I get all of that. I'm talking about where the money's
going. I understand what you're saying. But it's not looking to take this. Well, you're going to take this from me. This is monies that are already paid anyway. We're just taking portions of these monies and rededicating them into this scenario.
So that takes me back to where's the $30 million now going, and is something going to be lost as a result of that?
It's not. Okay. I've been assured that this is not going to affect any of the general fund. This is just a reapportionment, and we're not depleting anything and taking away from anything else.
Okay, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back 7:20. Y'all have any questions or comments? 504-260-1870. Talking about fortified roof program with Representative Troy Hebert. And look, I'm all for it, and I'm just trying to follow the dollars and understanding that $30 million has got to be going somewhere now. And if it's going to go toward the fortified roof program, which I'm all for, what's going to be $30 million short, or where was that $30 million sitting? Or maybe I'm making it more complicated than it needs to be. 7:21 traffic now, WWL. It is 7:26 and a half. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Representative Troy Hebert. Nice enough to take some time away from the governor's prayer breakfast. Talk about some bills he's got to provide more funding to the Fortify Roofs program, which I am all in favor of. Everybody's in favor of that and lower insurance rates. Somebody texted in, maybe I should phrase it this way, Representative, and that is, where did the apportionment go to before the reapportionment to the fund?
Well, look, while we were on break, I wanted to make sure I got pulled. Let me go a little bit deeper on this first.
Okay.
So there is a companion bill to my bill.
All right.
And that's Representative Chance Henry. He's running HB 441. And with HB, he's an insurance agent. And basically, right now, I wanted to pull it so I make sure I'm giving you the most accurate information. Mm-hmm. So his proposed law is going to increase.
And this is just to be clear, as proposed, because this could change. But go ahead, please.
Correct. Proposed law is that it will increase the fee for first-time business applicants from $55 to $75 and increase the biannual renewal fee from $50 to $75. And that is related to licensing fees. For present law requires, I'm trying to find it real quick so I can give you the right answers. It's his bill will increase because this plays a big piece in helping this bill.
People just want to know where the money is coming from, and will it ultimately be passed along to them? Okay.
So when he passes his bill gets passed, which is a companion bill, mm-hmm. from the fee increases in his bill that I just showed the proposal.
Right.
His bill would dedicate $30 million per year to the Louisiana Fortified Homes Program without causing a decrease in the amount of fees and taxes that are sent to the general fund from the Department of Insurance.
So who's paying those fees, bill, I guess? Who is paying those fees? Insurance companies?
Insurance agents, adjusters, people that are in his industry, in the insurance industry. So it's raising the licensing fees that they're currently paying at this time. And portions of that money would be dedicated into this program so that it would not, again, decrease the amount of fees and taxes that are currently sent into the general fund. So he basically is only taking the portion of the fee increase from $55 to $75, it's taking that portion, moving that to the Fortified Roof Program, and the remainder of those fees still goes back to where it's always going.
Tell you what. A lot's going to change between now and the end of the session. I want to extend an open invitation to you to come along as the session matriculates, and we'll talk about the changes to this, and we're all for Fortified Roofs, all right?
Right, and just again, no money is being taken
from the general fund.
It's all new money.
Right, gotcha.
It's all new money. So this is not money that's going to be taken from somewhere else to fund this. This is all new money.
Gotcha. Thank you, Representative Troy Hebert, Louisiana State Representative, talking about money to fund the Fortified Roofs program.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like by a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we'll have him back as the session makes its way all the way to June to talk about this some more, because the bills are going to change. And I think the main concern is nothing's free. Ultimately, somebody winds up paying for it. And the concern is that if the Fortified Roof Program is based on a lottery, the costs get passed down to whom, and does everybody pay into something, and then only the people that win get it. So anyway, we'll take a break, come back, talk about New Orleans being smoke-free for 10 years. Tommy Tucker, glad you're with us back in a flash, WWL. All right, 7:45, quarter till 8. We're going to talk about 10 years since the Orleans Parish gone smoke-free. And our guest is Brad Wellens, Regional Manager for Louisiana Public Health Institute. And Brad is hearing impaired, and he reads lips and does a great job of doing it. So bear with us. Everything's going to be fine. I'll try to speak as clearly as I can. Good morning, Brad. How are you?
Doing good. You're fine, Tommy. I read lips all the time. I mean, you know, I don't really mind talking about it. In fact, I help people like you. They're getting older and need hearing aids.
But the problem, thank you for that. The problem is he's staring into a window and the sun's behind me, and I'm afraid the glare from my head is going to blind him. That's the only
it might
worry
do that,
that I
too,
have.
It might.
Jordan, get him some sunglasses, would you please? Get the man some sunglasses. So let's talk about how this all came about 10 years ago, to give us some context for those that don't remember. What was it like 10 years ago as opposed to now?
Yeah, and that's the thing, Tommy, is the state legislature passed a law that you were talking about, restaurants and, you know, having people, and they realized that they passed a law back in 2007. But since 2007 to 2015, there was no law that regulated bars, casinos, and music venues.
Honestly, you know what? I honestly don't know where it stands right now. So tell me, where does it stand right now with Orleans Parish and smoking? You can't smoke indoor anywhere?
No, you can. There are five. Yeah, you have to ask the health department. We're still trying to figure it out. But there were five cigar bars that were grandfathered in because they already had smoking inside. You can smoke inside in some of those bars and indoor smoking, but it's cigars only.
What about casinos?
No.
No, okay.
Nope, so Caesar used to be Harrah's, is now smoke-free. They have I've been to it. They have an outdoor smoking area, really nice. They have some gaming out there, too.
Okay. Let's talk about the significance of the 10th anniversary of the smoke-free ordinance.
Well, and Tommy, what it does is New Orleans going smoke-free convinces other places that they can go smoke-free. That no one ever thought this would happen in New Orleans. New Orleans is a city of bars. I have a bar half a block down the street from me. It's a great bar.
Who doesn't?
Pals.
Who doesn't have one right
there? Yeah, that's true. There you go, Tommy. It's all the neighborhood bars. Yeah. And that's the thing, is no one ever thought it would happen. And the reason it did, largely, is because musicians, people that work in bars, casino workers. We actually had a casino worker who died of lung cancer despite never smoking, Maceo Bavrot. And, you know, it's unfair as to why should they have to breathe and patrons of the bars have to breathe someone else's smoke. I mean, you were talking about individual rights and, you know, you all believed in the market setting, but great. But why do you have the right to smoke and I have to breathe your unhealthy air? You should have a right to breathe healthy air.
And to take it a step further, my beliefs are more libertarian because I don't care what you do as long as it doesn't affect me. But if you're blowing your smoke at me, then it does affect me and I do care.
Bang on.
So what has been our public reception to this? Because there was a lot of talk about, you know, we're going to lose business, we're going to this, we're going to that.
Yeah. It's been fantastic, Tommy. I mean, the health department did a poll just this year and found that 75% of New Orleanians are in favor of this. 77% are in favor of expanding a little bit into making people step a little bit further away from the establishment because they step outside and they breathe their smoke. It's like, ah. But, you know, the thing is everyone's gotten on board. People that travel here, visitors and tourists, they expect to go into smoke-free places.
Where does that stand around the country? Because, you know, it all goes to tourists' expectations when they come here. Does it match what they're expecting? Or are other states
pretty? It definitely matches. It definitely matches.
New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, major cities, are they the same or not?
Yeah, most of them are smoke-free. There's 28 states and there are 700 municipalities that are smoke-free. Actually, New Orleans is one of 37, soon to be 39 cities and parishes and municipalities in Louisiana that are smoke-free. Although, crucially, none of the ones around Orleans are. Gee, I wonder why that is.
Yeah. So, Jefferson Parish, what's the situation in Jefferson Parish?
It's smoking. It depends bar by bar. It's voluntary. And it goes back to the point you talked about, Tommy, is why should I have to breathe their smoke?
So, the state law says no smoking in public buildings?
Restaurants.
Restaurants.
And public buildings, like state buildings, government buildings, you have to be 250 feet away.
So, what about... And I didn't mean to catch you off guard here, but I'm curious about this. In office buildings, say in Ruston or in Shreveport?
No, all public places that have workers are protected. The only
workers
that are not protected are bars, music venues, anything that has a bar license or some sort of a gaming license, casinos or stuff like that.
So business owners originally some were objecting to this. What has the 10 years shown?
The 10 years has shown that, A, people support it. B, there's been a 91% increase in air quality. C, you've had like populations. When I say populations, I mean people that are of a certain group, like musicians who've seen increases in their quality of life, increases in their health, and decreases in what we call tobacco-related diseases, tobacco-related illnesses like cancer. The New Orleans Musicians Clinic has shown this.
We're going to talk about quitting when we come back and cessation. Do you have any numbers about some help that's available, but do you know, or is there any data to indicate that there are less, I don't know how you would prove this, but what I'm trying to ask in my own clumsy way is if this led to people because they couldn't smoke or would have to go outside where they just gave it up completely.
Yeah, exactly. And we've seen a decline in what we call prevalence. That's the word you're looking for. Prevalence of smokers in Orleans. And especially compared to other areas of the state. One thing that we are seeing, though, is an increase in vaping, an increase in that people don't regard vaping as smoking, but it is.
But the state law makes no distinction, right?
No distinction. There's no state law, remember, Tommy. The city ordinance makes no distinction.
No,
it's all smoke.
The state law about smoking in public buildings and restaurants.
It makes no distinction either.
Okay.
Yeah. It's called comprehensively smoke-free.
All right, we'll pick it up. We come back, having an interesting conversation 10 years now since Orleans Parish had gone smoke-free completely. Talking to Brad Wellens, regional manager for Louisiana Public Health Institute. We'll talk about some of the tobacco-free... I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. The TFL. Jordan, help me out.
There you go.
What does TFL stand for?
TFL stands for the Louisiana Campaign for Tobacco-Free Living.
Tobacco-free living.
Why are we shorting it, Tommy? We've got to shorten it, right?
All right, we'll talk about it when we come back. 752, 8 till 8, traffic now, WWL. Three till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Brad Wellens, regional manager for Louisiana Public Health Institute about tobacco-free living, 10 years anniversary of the Orleans Parish landmark smoke-free ordinance. Everybody has a story. Y'all know I always say that, and I was talking to Brad off the air. This man once played Augusta National back in the day, and that's a rarity, my friend. That really is. And he says he shot 100, which is not bad for Augusta.
Tommy, I was young. I could actually play golf back then.
And, still.
And, you know, still. You're
that's
right,
pretty,
still.
Pretty
and
good.
We were shooting from the members' tees. You have no close to him.
Still. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about people are texting, and the text line's overwhelmingly in favor of this. A lot of people talking about Jefferson Parish. I wish Jefferson Parish would do the same. I can see where you have a choice. If you want to go to a bar where smoking is allowed, you can go to Jefferson Parish if the bar owner wants that, right?
Right, exactly.
And have you seen that in any way? This is kind of other bars. I don't know how you would compare this data-wise, but like in Jefferson Parish, bars are going smoke-free because people are used to it in Orleans Parish.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Tommy. And earlier, for the last couple of years, we've been focusing on Jefferson Parish and looking at ways. And what we're seeing is an increase in the number of bars that are smoke-free versus the ones that are smoking, just declining and declining. Why should your bar owner have to access that as or give permission to the smokers to come into bars? What we're seeing is that a lot of them are these old, dingy bars that it's just they kind of hanging on, and we don't know really why.
I think it's the nicotine that's holding the wood together. That's what it is, probably. The structure.
So.
Real quick, if somebody's looking for help to cease smoking or quit smoking, how do they find it?
Yeah, we have a quit line along with the Well Ahead program, Louisiana Department of Health, and you can actually go to, you can call. Or you can look online at quitwithusla.org or text READY to 34191. Or you can actually talk about vaping and you say text LIVE FREE, 873-373, because vaping is what's going next. It really is.
Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. Nice talking to you. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Ronald Surpass about Helena Moreno's crime plan if she's elected mayor. 8:13, beautiful spring morning as we head into the second part of April, joined by Ronald Surpass, since it is Wednesday morning, as we are most Wednesday mornings, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police. You're liable to find him pop up on your cable channel as they talk about crime here or there or incidents here or there. How you doing, Chief?
I'm great, Tommy. How are you?
I'm all right. I like to pick your brain. You know that. So before we get to Helena Moreno's crime plan, I want to talk about the French Quarter Fest shooting and a couple of different questions that I have about it. First of all, there is nothing more that NOPD could have done. You got the guy. I think they saw him put the gun into his pants. When they find him and arrest him, the gun is hot to the touch, indicating it had just been fired. Only 11 rounds remaining, 22-round extended magazine. Your thoughts on all of this, and I'll ask my questions.
Well, I think this is the case that we could consider an observation. One is, A, the NOPD did a tremendous job. They are doing the best they can, given the circumstances they're provided by the city. Secondly, when people choose to do these types of violent acts, it doesn't matter if the police are standing next to them. I've seen that myself. We've all seen that. Third, take this for a second. If someone is willing to commit such a violent act in front of everybody, to include police, what's the chances, Tommy, you think that that person's been in front of a few judges in their life who just kept saying, oh, man, it's not your fault. We're going to give you a break. Oh, you know, I know you committed that crime, but, you know, it's an oppressive world and you're really not responsible. I'm being sarcastic for a reason. People don't just wake up one day normally and say, I'm going to bring a gun to a big crowd and start shooting at people. They have most likely been in the criminal justice system that it treats it like a McDonald's drive-through window. And then police officers and citizens are having to live with this.
Chief, is there a way, I don't mean to catch you flat-footed here, but I would think you would know, where we could, somebody can go and when somebody is charged with a crime like this, check their arrest record and criminal record and so forth? Because it is public record,
one
right?
Thing you could, I'm not exactly sure what's the best way to be able to do that these days, how you could do it. Sometimes you could just go look at a sheriff's booking information on the internet, because it's part of our Constitution that we don't hide people in prisons, right? So there has to be a public, they used to call it the book.
The blotter, right?
That's how you knew what. Well, yeah, and that's how you knew where people were, which is fundamental to the Constitution's protection of defendants. However, And I don't know if this one particular guy has been in trouble, but my experience of 4.5 decades would be it's a really good chance he's gotten the soft touch from a judge in a drive-through window of justice and decides to shoot some people at Decatur and Iberville. Maybe not this time, but more often than not, that's the case.
Well, I'm not arguing with you. I was curious to look it up because I find it hard to believe that, you know, you go from being an honorable citizen and just tax-paying citizen, going to church Sunday, everything else, and I'm going to the extreme here. But then you get in a fight at French Quarter Fest, you pull a Glock with an extended magazine out and start firing into a crowd. I don't see that happening too often. One other thing I wanted to ask you from a criminology standpoint. I'm looking at this guy's booking picture. It looked like he could be a football player, 6'3", got to be 250, 300 pounds. When it comes to gun violence, is there any correlation between physical size or anything like that, or age when it comes to who's more prone to pull out a gun when a fight breaks out, or not really?
I'm not sure I see in my experience, not academically, but in my experience, I'm not sure the size ever made a difference. What made a difference is that if a young man or woman said, nobody's ever made me do anything that I didn't want to do before. I'm going to carry a gun, mm-hmm. and I'm going to use that gun to allegedly protect myself. And we've talked about this before, Tommy. To me, the fallacy of this argument is that some people will say a young man carried a gun because the oppressive government made him feel like he couldn't communicate his fears. You know, there's a little something to that. But part of the argument that
say that part again.
Some people who believe that.
That what?
There are some people who believe it's always society's fault that a young man carries a gun like that because he can't trust government. Well, the problem with that is, but when they shoot into a crowd wantonly at 30 or 40 people, then what?
Can't trust government to do what?
But keep them safe.
The police were right there.
No, I'm talking about, you asked about gun, why somebody uses
a gun.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Okay, I get you. Okay, not this specific case. I got you. Okay.
Right. So there's a group of people who suggest that people who are carrying guns on the street are protecting themselves because they can't trust a government that's systemically whatever. Okay, there's probably some arguments that are around that might make a bit of sense now and then, but it never makes sense that these young men being exempted by that type of argument shoot into a crowd with 20 or 30 people and everybody says, well, you know, he didn't trust the government to protect him. That's so uncanny. It doesn't make any sense. And I think citizens see through it like a piece of glass when they hear those arguments.
The other question, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's all right. Finish, please.
Well, you can't expect that there are not going to be some people who were in a bad time and a wrong time. But walking around Decatur and Iberville with a Glock extended magazine, as you described, is not someone who has probably never been involved with crime, violence, or the criminal justice system.
I want to pick it up here when we come back, because my question is, we just had this big report come out from the Teneo group about French Quarter safety, barricades, etc., but none of that would have addressed any of this because it would have been in contradiction to state law, right?
I think that's true.
Okay, we'll pick it up when we come back, talking to Ronald Surpass. We will get to Helena Moreno's crime plan eventually, but stuff keeps happening, and I want to pick the chief's brain about it because he knows what he's talking about. Ronald Surpass, former NOPD superintendent. Y'all got any questions, comments? Open our jeweler talk and text lines open, 504-260-1870. Text, data, message rates may apply. Please do not text and drive. 820, traffic now, WWL. 8:25 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Wednesday morning. We always talk, well, most of the time, talk to Ronald Surpass, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police, and a noted national expert on crime. So, Chief, we're talking about the French Quarter security plan that was released last week, which I believe you and I discussed, or at some point we did. State law allows you to conceal carry if you're not now I don't know what this guy's record was. I still haven't been able to find it. So if he was a convicted felon, he was violating the law. So that law would have prevented that. But generally speaking, as it relates to the security plan and this incident, the security plan would have done nothing to address this. Does something need to be done about state law to address that, or what do you think? From the criminologist, not political standpoint.
Well, the ultimate idea here with the Tenino work is I respect it. I respect the work of the people, and I know the people, and I think they do very good work. The problem is the French Quarter hasn't changed. The streets haven't changed. The businesses haven't changed. The residential areas, the business areas, the tourist areas. So it's always going to have to be a compromise between those three factions in one of the most beautiful parts of the country. The issue of gun control is really how we manage the world. I mean, the public voted for it. That's what they want. The legislature responded. Now it's a matter of determining, are there exemptions that need to be made? So one thing I would say to you is there's probably not very many laws that there's not some exemption someplace, sometimes for really good reasons. I tended to think that an exempted gun zone in the French Quarter made a lot of sense from my experience, but the legislature spoke. I would still recommend that they consider a gun law exemption for the French Quarter. But then there'll be others who say, well, what about the DDD? And then what about the Marigny? And then what about the Bywater? So the legislatures have to, by and large, less guns are better around particularly alcohol and crowds.
And the other side of it is, if he was a convicted felon, then he's violating the law anyway, and a law wouldn't have made a difference unless you go to some type of metal detector or something like that to keep him from ever getting in. And from a law enforcement standpoint, and knowing the French Quarter as you do, having pounded the beat when you first started, could that ever work? Do you ever see that happening?
I don't think that technology exists yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe one day there will be a technology that could do something like that, everybody walking, but I'm just not aware of any of that existing yet. So you have to compromise the three parties, right? Residents, business, tourists, and common sense and technology, and, you know, try to get to a solution. Totally understand it, but it's not something that just one person could say, this is the way it's going to be.
And the election's not for a while, so we can talk about Councilmember Moreno's plan next week. While we have a couple of minutes left here, I don't think I did talk to you about the Tenio plan. What are your thoughts on it after seeing? I know you know a lot of people on there. You worked with them. What were your thoughts about the plan that they released?
I think they do competent work, and a lot of times what consultants do, and that's what I do, is you go to another community and you point out things probably that people already knew, but this idea of an external authenticator, someone from somewhere else saying, this doesn't make much sense anymore. Those kinds of things are helpful for cities when they're trying to decide what direction they want to go in. As to any mayor plan, here's the thing, Tommy. There are so many companies in the country that can tell you how many cops you need. We should do that and quit guessing, right? We guess, and we don't have to guess.
Thank you, Chief. Appreciate your time as always. Ronald Surpass, Professor of Practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent. We come back. We're talking to Michael Fitz, President of Tulane. It's Tulane Day at the state capitol. We'll check in with President Fitz about the impact the school has had, bigger problems of addressing brain drain in Louisiana. And I will remind you, it is Wednesday, a beautiful day. So why don't you plan on joining Newell, Normand, and myself at the Wednesday at the Square Young Leadership Council's concert series, Lafayette Square, CBD. A lot of great local music, emerging artists, food, art, crafts. It's all free and open to the public. Bring some money if you want to eat something or drink something or maybe buy some arts or crafts or something like that. Time to unwind, hang out after work at Wednesday at the Square, Lafayette Square. It starts at 5. Me and Newell will be out there. And we're going to introduce the Soul Rebels and Motel Radio, presented by Abita Brewing Company, the YLC, and WWL. And Brooke Laser, who's with the Young Leadership Council, texted me yesterday. You can actually go to 10best.usatoday.com, the numeral 10best.usatoday.com, and vote for the Young Leadership Wednesday at the Square to be the best outdoor concert series. So why don't you do that and see if we can win. Back in a flash, WWL. 8:45, quarter till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Wednesday morning, April 16th, it happens to be Tulane Day at the state capitol. President Michael Fitz of Tulane University is going to be at the capitol talking about the different things, that challenges that the state is facing and that Tulane's helping to make a meet. Good morning, President Fitz. How are you?
Thank you, Tommy. Good morning to you.
Thanks for taking the time with us. I appreciate it. Let's talk about some of the things that Tulane does as it relates to brain drain and what problems the state's facing.
Yeah, I mean, we've all focused on the fact that we're losing population in Louisiana, and Tulane is really I think, a central actor in combating that and really drawing top people to Louisiana and keeping talent in Louisiana. You know, we literally launched several years ago Louisiana Promise, which offers no loan attendance at Tulane for everybody making under $100,000. And it's been a huge impetus to keeping top students in Louisiana and spending their careers in Louisiana. Louisiana is now our leading state of students in the incoming class.
How do people find out more about that, President Fitz?
They should contact us. It is literally intended to cement our relationship with Louisiana and give opportunities for top students here to come to Tulane and not, you know, graduate without any loans at all.
I would like you to also say that again, if you could, because I got to tell you, I got to plead ignorance on this. So that's the first time I'm hearing about this, and I think that's huge. Say it again, please.
Yeah, we call it Louisiana Promise, and it's part of our commitment to Louisiana. We launched it several years ago, and students whose families make under $100,000 and are admitted to Tulane can come to Tulane no loan. In other words, they can graduate without any loans. And it's been hugely successful among students who are admitted to Tulane and qualify for this. Over 90% choose to come to Tulane.
Wow, that's awesome. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to get that out there again.
No, it's been great. I mean, the other part, obviously, is we are an economic engine for Louisiana. We literally have an impact of over $5 billion a year, which is up from $3 billion. And one of the largest private employers in the state. We've added 1,200 jobs. We, in a sense, impact 30,000 across the state. You got to think of us not only as a, I think a great academic institution, but also a great economic institution for growth in the future of Louisiana.
I want to talk more about the medical corridor and the transformation of Charity Hospital, but in a couple of minutes before the break, President Fitz, everybody's got a story, right? And I want to hear yours. How do you go from being Michael Fitz, who's 10 years old and running around in a backyard, to being the president of Tulane University?
It's obviously the greatest honor in my life. It's a dream come true. Tulane, it's not only one of the great universities in the world, but it's special. It's different. It's got the culture of New Orleans and Louisiana. It's got the joie de vivre and the relational context that you really don't find anywhere else. We're just unique, and that's what attracts students from around the country to come to Tulane, and it's what keeps, I think, students in Louisiana here to come to Tulane.
But you personally, did you think at 10 years old you would be the president of a university? I just always like to hear everybody's story, that's all.
I wanted to play right field for the Atlanta Braves.
Did
so that
you?
Was probably my my first choice. But given that I didn't have a good enough arm, that really wasn't a possibility. So after that, I decided to be become a law professor and ultimately ended up being offered this wonderful position at Tulane. And I've been here now for over 10 years, a long time.
Do you ever stick your nose in the Tulane baseball program at all? A couple of hints?
I don't think they would even let me be their water boy.
Okay. Well, I don't know about all that.
I bet
they'd give you a good seat. Let's take a break. We'll come back, talk about the medical corridor and a transformation of Charity Hospital. We're talking to Tulane President Michael Fitz. It's Tulane Day at the state capitol. He's going to be there talking about some of the things that Tulane does for the state and for the city. And we'll continue the conversation when we come back. 850, 10 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:56, 4 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by President Michael Fitz of Tulane University. It's Tulane Day at the state capitol. President Fitz, talk about, if you will, the biomedical corridor, the transformation of Charity Hospital, and how that's developing into a hub for bioscience.
So thank you. This is my favorite topic. We are literally embarking on what is the largest, most significant initiative in the history of Tulane University, and may well be one of, if not the most important initiatives for New Orleans as well. We have a downtown campus, which is large at this point, 17 buildings, but we have exploding in our research. It's gone up 75% over the last few years, $220 million a year. And this is going to be the center of our research effort and the sort of the biomedical community building it. We're growing over a million square feet in space downtown for research labs, for bioscience, but also for startups. These are the companies that come out of your research and really can be the source of incredible economic growth. So this will be an innovation district and should be transformative not only for New Orleans, but we think will impact the state significantly as well.
And that's looking forward. Of course, energy has always been a part, an important part of the state's economy. Tulane's involved there too, right?
Yes, we just held a huge energy forum, bringing together thought leaders, government officials, scientists from across the country. And energy, as you know, is not only critical to Louisiana, but it's critical to the United States. And Tulane, with a School of Science and Engineering and Business, is really focused on how best to develop the energy sector in a significant, thoughtful way and help the Louisiana economy is part of that.
President Fitz, I got to ask you, because it is out there. You know, the president said some bad things about Harvard today, and I know you went to Harvard and Yale and freedom of expression on campus. How much of a challenge is the current political atmosphere for you as a university president to make sure that everybody's protected, but everybody still has their freedom of speech?
Well, it's a great question. And I think Tulane and the Tulane community has handled this extremely well over the last few years. Obviously, we, like all universities, we have differences of views within the community, and we support people in expressing those views. But we also have ensured that there is no disruption of, you know, the program or people. Nobody threatens anyone else. And again, I think we've and the Tulane community has handled this as well as any university in the United States.
Thank you, President Fitz. I appreciate your time. Roll wave.
Roll wave. Thank
there you,
you
Thank
Tommy.
You, sir. You bet. Michael Fitz, President of Tulane University. Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to talk to Courtney Jackson, CNET Senior Streaming Editor, about cutting the cord and different streaming services and how to audit what it is that you're paying for and more. Back in a flash, WWL. And that would be based on the national climate as well and the red nature of Louisiana and what's going on with the White House and so forth in Washington. But the only reason I brought up that part about the legislators is knowing them, some of them, and knowing the process, sometimes it is so local and so personal. I don't know that that issue really gets tied back, but it'll be interesting to watch. Dave, here we go. Now's your chance to win a pair of tickets, second weekend of Jazz Fest. Today's password is gospel. You know how to spell gospel. Gospel. Now go to WWL.com/contest, register and win. It's that easy. Don't miss your chance to win. All you have to do is listen at 9, noon, 3, and 6 for the Jazz Fest code word of the day to see amazing artists like Pearl Jam, Dave Matthews Band, John Fogerty, Louisiana Roots, Casey Musgrave, Harry Connick Jr., and more. Good luck. Happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. Go to WWL.com/contest and enter the word gospel. It's that easy. We're going to spend an hour trying to sort out streaming services and what you're subscribed to and what you can watch and what's the best value and more with our friend Courtney Jackson, CNET Senior Streaming Editor. Good morning, Courtney. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you doing?
I'm well. It's good to talk to you again. How you been?
I've been pretty good. Thank you.
Just pretty good?
Yeah, pretty good.
Well, it's better than terrible.
It is.
You know what I wrote on my whiteboard yesterday, Courtney, before we start talking about streaming services? I was talking to somebody in the kitchen about this. Live in the moment. You ever try to do that?
I do. Because I do. I'm getting better at it.
I'm trying because so many times you spend time rehashing the past that you can't do anything about. and worrying about the future that, you know, you got a plan, but really, how much do we really control anyway? So just try to live in the moment and enjoy it. And I guess sometimes living in the moment and enjoy it means what you're watching on TV and enjoying what you're streaming, right?
Correct, correct. And trying to stay off the phone while you're watching TV.
You know what drives me crazy? And it's like I have a limited amount of time to watch TV. Have you ever been in a grocery store and you walk down the chip aisle and you think you know what you want, and after a while, you're just thoroughly confused because they have so many different things to watch. You have so many things to buy. You have a limited budget. You don't know what if you want cheese, nachos, potato chips, crispy, not this, barbecue. And sometimes I'm like that with TV where I feel this immense pressure to pick the right thing to watch because I only got 4 hours, and there are so many things to watch. How do you go about determining what you watch? Or I guess you got to watch it all with your work, huh?
It's a bit of a mixture. Luckily, I have a good team, too, so we spread it out who watches what. But, you know, on a personal note, mm-hmm. I do have, you know, certain services that I tend to go to more often than others. And I kind of keep myself, I take my own advice and use the strategy of rotating my services. So I don't know if any of you know this, any Marvel fans on this, you know, listening to the show, but Daredevil just aired its season finale. So I'm going to cancel Disney Plus for now. That was the reason why I had it, you know, and then I'll put my dollars toward another service.
Let's talk about that. You know, I was saying the other day that I watched a thing on the Titanic on a Disney Channel, and I had two discoveries. First was that if the Titanic had hit the iceberg straight on, it may have not sunk, although it would have killed a lot of people. The second discovery was that I subscribed to the Disney Channel. I had no earthly idea. I just clicked on it, and it came on. How do you go about managing these subscriptions before we start talking about rotating them?
So the best thing to do, and this is an issue that happens with colleagues as well. People forget that they've subscribed to something. If you don't want to look directly at your bank account to sort of keep track of what you signed up for, because sometimes it could be disguised as a third-party bill, mm-hmm. you know, to a place like Amazon, and maybe you subscribed through Prime to sign up for Hulu. So you don't recognize that Amazon charge as a streaming service charge necessarily. So what you can do is use an app like Rocket Money, and it'll comb through your bills and sort of isolate those streaming subscriptions and help you discover what you've been paying for, what you may have forgotten about, you know, and decide what you want to keep.
Let's start with, I guess, cable as opposed to streaming. Is there a need to have both? Generally speaking.
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. You can definitely get by with a live TV streaming service, you know, and a couple of your on-demand services like Netflix or Hulu to supplement. These days, the quality is similar. You have access to news, you have access to sports, and then your network TV shows that people like to watch, you know, during those primetime hours. Mm-hmm. And you can get access to those channels through a live TV streaming service or through cable. One of the things that we're seeing is a trend, and this is coming out through researchers like Deloitte and some of these other companies, is that there's one group that tends to flock toward cable. It's not Gen Z. It's not millennials. It's usually the group above boomers.
And above the ones boomers? Tend,
yes.
They're in heaven. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
above
mature.
Boomers. Oh, okay.
There's a group called Mature.
All right.
That and they're being reported on and tracked as well, and they're the ones that tend to stick with cable more often than others.
Is that because streaming's involved with the computer and get confusing? I'm not trying to stereotype anybody or anything like that, but is there a cause and effect thing there maybe?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's a matter of convenience or cost or, you know, something like that. But these reports have also determined that that same group, when they do sign up for streaming services, they tend to go more toward the ad-based ones. So they don't really go for the ad-free. It's more the ad services, so which is telling in itself. Those tend to be the cheaper plans, but they also, because they have commercials, people are sort of used to that format already, so it doesn't bother you as much to sit through ads when you're streaming.
I want to open the Oakenard Jeweler Talk and Text line here. If you have any questions about streaming services, content, best bang for your buck, cable, etc., Courtney Jackson is our go-to, and we're pleased to have her. It's been a while since we spoke to her. She's CNET Senior Streaming Editor. She does this for a living. Open Our Jeweler Talk and text lines open 504-260-1870. Text, data, and message rates may apply. Don't ever please text while driving. It's 918. I'm Tommy Tucker. Quick break. We come back, we'll talk about rotating services and what Courtney alluded to earlier here on WWL. If you're tuning in for the Jazz Fest code word of the day, I've already given it, but because I'm magnanimous, I'll give it again. It is gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, gospel, as in church, you know, gospel. I think it's a drop-down menu, so you don't have to spell it or anything like that. Just go to WWL.com/contest. You can register to win tickets to the second weekend of Jazz Fest. We're talking to Courtney Jackson, our friend, who is a CNET senior streaming editor, about streaming services. And I'm going to get to the text lines in a minute, 504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Art Jeweler talk and text line. Message, text, and data rates apply. Please don't text and drive. Courtney, talk about revolving services. How do you do that? Tell me.
So the idea is to sort of, one of the things you need to do is to keep track of when your favorite show or event is getting ready to come on TV. So, for example, Star Wars is releasing the second season of Andor and next week. So for fans of that franchise, you want to make sure you have Disney Plus if you don't have it already. Same thing for Netflix. Maybe you've been taking a break from Netflix because of the price hike they implemented a few months ago, and the only reason you want Netflix is for Stranger Things. So you want to sort of keep track of when those shows or events like WrestleMania are going to hit streaming, and that's when you subscribe. And then when you're finished watching every episode of a show, you go ahead and cancel the service and then sign back up once they have something else you want to watch. The alternative to that is to just wait for all the episodes of your favorite show to be available on the platform instead of watching week after week after week when you're paying for that. That means you're going to pay for that service for 2 or 3 months. Wait till all the episodes are already out. Binge the show. That way you end up paying for 1 month of a service as opposed to 3 months.
Somebody texted in. They like the series Mad Men. They want to know where they can find it, and can they subscribe just long enough till they watch all the episodes and cancel it? How do the subscription services work, Courtney? Do you have to? It's like a country club membership. You sign up for a year, 6 months, as long as you want. How does that work?
No, that's one of the advantages of a streaming service. They are contract free, so you're under no obligation to stay with one. You can cancel whenever you want. So if you want to sign up, use it for a week or use it for 3 days, you're able to do that and then cancel.
And they bill you by the day?
They bill you for the month.
For the month.
Yeah, for the month. So
you wouldn't
want to prorate
it. Oh, they will prorate it?
They will not prorate it.
Oh, no.
So you squeeze in what you can, you know, look at the price. I think, like, right now, Peacock and Paramount Plus, they're $8 a month. So if you're going to sign up for one show, do it. You know, watch what you can in that 1 month time. Some services do offer a free trial, not all of them. Netflix does not. So if you sign up for Netflix, watch everything you can for that 1 month worth of service, and then go ahead and cancel.
So if you sign up, it's a month. The only reason to cancel after a couple of days would be if it's a 7-day free trial, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Here we go. I just realized we have two subscriptions to Paramount Plus. I had a subscription on my phone, and then while trying to watch the new series, 1923, my husband got a subscription off the TV. Is it normally possible to combine those? I only have to pay one fee and watch on my phone and my TV. I'm paying close to $23 for Paramount TV Plus.
No, unfortunately, you cannot combine those subscriptions, especially if you signed up with separate email addresses. So you'll have to cancel one. If you have a watch list where you already sort of start watching several shows and you know, you're sort of on the carousel, unfortunately you'll lose all of that. But you just have to choose which one you're going to keep.
So somebody else texted in and said, when it comes to streaming services, is there any way to say which one has the best content?
That's well,
such a
we
subjective
do
subjective thing. Huh? What do you think?
It is. It depends on your personal taste. also, you know, what you're willing to pay. We do review services. We do keep a running list of the best streaming services and what each one has to offer. And we look at libraries and the frequency of new content being released and factors like that. Also the value, how many screens you can watch at a time and those sorts of things, which ones offer children's content and how much. You sort of just have to consider your household, you know, what you want to watch. Do you need access to live sports? Some on-demand services like Peacock do stream live sports. So you may not need a live TV streaming service if something like that has what you want.
Somebody had a question about TVs and they're getting ready to buy a new television set. They want to get it in before tariffs, if in fact there are tariffs. I don't know where that stands, but what time is it, right? So how do you determine when it comes to TVs preloaded with different streaming services, but are there differences, all of the services that are loaded onto the TVs already, or at least that you have access to through the television set, they all have commercials, right, or not?
So it's most modern TVs, most modern TV, basic like a Roku TV, TCL, Samsung, they have built-in streaming services. Some of them also have their own free streaming service. So if you buy a Samsung TV today, you'll not only have access to, well, you can easily subscribe to like your Netflix, your Disney Plus, your Hulu, but it also comes with built-in Samsung TV Plus, which is a suite of free channels that you can watch. There's hundreds of free channels built into those TVs. Same thing with the Roku TV. Roku offers the Roku channel, which has a suite of hundreds of free channels. But this, you still have to actually sign up and subscribe to each streaming service through your smart TV and pay for it on there. So it's not included, you know, unless they're giving you a special, like, here's 3 months of Hulu for free for buying a new TV or something like that. But typically you do still have to subscribe.
So the free ones, and I've noticed this, having a couple of different types of TVs, a lot of them, although it's different services or different like Tubi, or I'm trying to think of some of the other free ones, it's the same programs, right?
Sometimes? Yes and no. Yes and no. So most of them, what we call fast TV. So FAST is an acronym. It stands for free ad-supported streaming TV or supported TV. So what they do is some of them offer mostly live channels, and they could be a combination of your local news stations and branded TV, you know, like Taste Made or a dedicated channel to, let's say, SpongeBob or something like that. Others also offer original content. Tubi does that. Tubi offers live channels. It offers a bunch of free TV shows and movies, but also their own original selection of movies and TV shows. Pluto mostly has live channels. You know, for people who want that sort of experience, they're one of the better services for that.
Somebody texts in and says, why can I get the news in Philadelphia, Los Angeles, Cleveland, Baltimore, but I can't get the news from New Orleans on my whatever service it is they have, the free one?
It all depends on the service. Sometimes you can get access to local stations, sometimes not. It all depends on where you live. If you get an antenna, though, and there are budget-friendly antennas, that will likely, and you live in an area where you get a good signal, that can give you access to your local news stations.
And it's relatively easy to switch back and forth with the new TVs to antenna or not. And I think an antenna is like, what, $30 an HD antenna?
Yeah, you can get one for around that price, between $20 and $30 starter price. And then they go up in price from there.
And what do you get? What do you get better with the antenna?
So that gives you, again, your local stations mostly. So if you want to watch like your local news and sometimes national channels like your ABC to catch your sports, they can help you do that. But you do have to be in an area that gets a good signal. So if you live in a very, very rural area, it may not give you a good selection of channels.
With a really expensive one, can you go through your neighbor's text messages? Just kidding. Let's talk about, is there a site somebody wants to know where you can go to and kind of look at categories, if you like old comedy TVs, if programs, if you like 80s westerns, if, I don't know if they had 80s westerns, different categories. Like, is there one site you can go to where you can type in either what show you want or what category of show you want and find the different services that offer it?
Right. So Google can help with stuff like that. Google, actually, if you want to, like someone asked about Mad Men earlier.
Yeah.
If you go to Google and type in Mad Men, it'll tell you which streaming services you can find that show on.
And
right
Jordan,
now.
Jordan Fiegel, our producing guru, just sent me a thing that says, just watch the streaming guide. Have you heard of that?
Yes. Just Watch is good. It's one of the apps we recommend, too, to track TV shows. Just Watch, Real Good, those are all good recommendations.
So for this person looking for Mad Men, they would find the streaming service, they would sign up, and then watch Mad Men as much as they wanted, and then when they were done with it, they just cancel a subscription, and it would round off to a month. Accurate?
Well, actually, no? Mad Men may be available for free. So what I would do is check, type it into Google or, like Jordan recommended, Just Watch. If it's offered on a platform like Plex or the Roku channel, you can watch it for free without having to sign up for a paid provider.
I don't know if this is in your wheelhouse or not, Courtney, but somebody wants to know about, are there TVs that are better than the other reception-wise, or are they all the same? And when it comes to evaluating which TV you purchase, is it all about which streaming services are already loaded onto it?
So the TV experts on my team are Ty Pendlebury and David Katzmeyer. They are like TV scientists, and they can really break down, what's the best way to go about purchasing a TV and all the features that are included. What I will say is in most cases, streaming services are preloaded, but don't let that be the only factor when you determine what TV you want to buy.
I know the TV I have, and the biggest TV I have in the main room is a Vizio, I think it is. And no offense to anybody, I'm waiting for that thing to break so I can get rid of it. I can't wait till it breaks so I can get rid of it. I swear to goodness, I'm not kidding. Do you have a favorite or not, Courtney?
I don't. We have sort of everything in my house. And then I have a lot of stuff for work, too, as far as the streaming devices. So, I use it to test. We use it to test devices. We use it to test services. So I kind of use everything.
So I looked at Mad Men on Just Watch. It says AMC Plus, Apple TV, Prime Video, Roku Channel, AMC Plus, Philo, Plex. And then it gives me an option, or whoever, an option to buy it at Amazon, something with an F, and Apple TV. Take me through that. What does that mean? What is Plex? Is that free? That says
Plex
one season HD, okay? Philo, what is that? You pay for that?
Philo is a live TV streaming service. It starts at $28 a month, and that actually includes access to AMC Plus at no extra charge.
That's where it gets so confusing, right?
Yes, yes.
And then you got Roku Channel. It says also, just to use this as a case study, that also comes with AMC Plus or not. So how would this person know what to subscribe to, the best value there, if that's what they're looking for?
So if you want to go with the free option, which may only be one season, then that would be Plex. But in most cases, you will have to subscribe to AMC Plus, and you can either just subscribe directly to AMC Plus, or it's included with a bundle, like it is with Philo. The Roku channel, they operate similar to Prime Video, where you can sign up for a service as an add-on. So if you know, if you use Prime Video, most of us have a subscription through Amazon Prime. You can sign up for Max. You can sign up for Netflix as add-ons through your main Prime subscription. The Roku channel operates the same way. So if you want to get AMC Plus as an add-on, you're going to have to pay whatever AMC Plus is charging.
All right, I'm getting dizzy. I'm getting dizzy. So we're going to take a break, and we'll come back, and you can talk about bundling. Somebody texted in, what's the problem with Vizio? It starts itself, stops itself. Starts, restarts, the middle of the night, turn itself on. I don't know why. Changes channels, just goes crazy. But none of the other TVs in the house do it. So maybe it's the ghost of Betsy the Boxer. I don't know. 9:38:22 till 10. More when we come back. Traffic now, WWL. 9:45, quarter till 10. I love having Courtney Jackson on, CNET's senior streaming editor, because this streaming thing can be confusing and be complicated. I want to get to this, Courtney. Somebody says that they are subscribing to both HBO cable and Max streaming, and that's pretty stupid, is it?
I don't want to say that.
No, you can say it. It's me. I'm talking about me, so you can go ahead and say it. It's fine. It is stupid, isn't it? Because I got the same exact stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You only need one. And as far as I know, Max is automatically included for people who have HBO. So you have access to what's in the catalog. But remember, what Max offers goes beyond HBO content. So you also have access to CNN. You have access to Warner Brothers movies.
And Turner Classic movies, right, with Max?
Exactly. Even though they keep rotating the catalog, there's, the back catalog of TV shows and movies, even Cartoon Network content. All of that is included with Max, whereas with HBO, you get just HBO.
They do, because I was looking for Looney Tunes. I like to watch Looney Tunes to relax because I deal with so much serious stuff, and they shifted. They used to have the old ones. Now I can't find any of the old ones, so they do rotate them, right?
Yeah. Well, they removed Looney Tunes. That was a big thing.
Who did? When?
Warner Brothers Discovery. They did. It turned into
this is outrageous.
Big,
what?
Yes, people were up in arms, but now... But guess who has it? Guess who's licensing the content? You can watch it on
Disney?
Tubi for free
Tubi
as
for
of
free?
April 1st. Yes,
oh,
as of April 1st.
Do you like Looney Tunes?
I do. I did as a kid.
Do you think there's a real difference between Daffy Duck and Sylvester the Cat?
I think they have the same vibe.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing, actually. I think that voice artist, Mel Blanc, did a good job of doing basically one voice and breaking it up to a lot of different ones. Let's talk about... bundling services and going back to me and people that are in my position, I know I'm wasting a lot of money a month on all of these services. I guess the first thing would do to be maybe cancel the cable and then from there go to streaming services and get an antenna.
Yes. So look into a service like Sling, look into Philo, or guess what, guys? There's some new stuff out now. If you, at the top of the year, there were a lot of changes in streaming besides just Netflix's price hike. Two companies introduced what we are calling skinny bundles. Mm. One of them is Comcast. So if you have Xfinity Internet, you can sign up for its new bundle, which gives you access to, it's $70 a month, gives you live sports, news, and includes access to Peacock. But the catch is, again, you have to be an Xfinity customer. So you get access to shows, to channels like ABC, CBS, NBC, in addition to, content from FS1 and Big Ten. And then, again, it includes access to Peacock, all for that $70 a month price tag. The other thing that was recently introduced is DirecTV's genre packs. Those range anywhere from $30 a month to $40 a month and then go up from there. There's one at $70 a month that gives you the live sports. But if you only want entertainment channels, get the genre pack. They have one called My Entertainment. It's $30 a month. And you have live channels included with that. And it's one of the most budget-friendly options out there right now.
And what's the name of that one again? Budget-friendly?
That's it's DirecTV Genre Pack.
So you need the satellite dish or whatever it is?
No.
It's
all streaming and it's open to any customer.
DirecTV, and again, the name of it was?
Genre Pack.
Genre Pack, all right. And you said skinny bundles?
Yes, that's what we're calling these because they're really streamlined. They're not as they don't cost as much as like your YouTube TV or Hulu plus live TV. They come with a little bit less channels than you would get with a service like that, but... Some of them make up for it by throwing in an on-demand service like Peacock.
Sounds like the name of an exotic dancer. Gentlemen, stage two, skinny bundles. Somebody wants to know about recording TV from streaming. If you want to record programs, can you do that? Or do you really need to if they're available all the time? I would think you can't record it because then you would own the content, and then why would you subscribe? Take me through that, Courtney.
So, yes, if you have a live stream... Live TV streaming service like YouTube TV, yes, it includes DVR. No, if for a service like Disney Plus, Hulu, or Netflix, those are on-demand streamers, whereas YouTube TV and Fubo are live TV services. So, yes, with those live ones, you can use DVR and record your programming.
You buy that separate, the DVR, or that?
No, it's all on the cloud. No, there's no equipment to buy. You just pick up your remote and set it for what you want to record.
All right, somebody texted in with all this streaming. Watch your data limits. I don't think I have a data limit?
Some people do on their internet. Some people have a cap on their internet plan. So, yes, you do want to make sure you have unlimited data if that's an issue. Or if you're watching on your phone a lot, just make sure you're sort of keeping an eye on how much data you're using.
Courtney, real quick, somebody texted, and whatever happened to we pay for TV and there are no commercials, whatever happened to that? It seems as though with streaming we're getting away from that. I don't know about, well, cable actually has full of commercials too, not the necessarily premium services, but.
Yeah, most streaming services now offer an ad-based plan, but it's totally up to you if you want to sign up for that or if you want to pay more to watch without commercials.
Final thoughts, Courtney?
Listen, guys, look into bundles. They're the wave of 2025. Take advantage of those. They can save you a lot of money, especially if you're missing the live TV channel experience. Otherwise, get into rotating your services.
Tell me about CNET real quick.
So CNET is the number one tech news site here. We have experts that are like me. I'm streaming. We have TV experts. We have mobile experts who cover phones, home experts, wellness experts. You can find pretty much whatever you need if you're looking to buy anything in the tech field or even improve your sleep habits.
We appreciate you, Courtney. We do. Thank you for giving us your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Courtney Jackson, CNET Senior Streaming Editor. Confused? Good. Me too. 9:52, we'll take a break. Talk to Newell when we come back on WWL.